and welcome to Spoilers Encouraged. I'm Jess.
I'm Eileen.
I'm Kayla.
This week, I read The Similars by Rebecca Hanover. Now, disclaimer, I actually read this book a while ago. So even some of the plot points, they're a little confusing when I read them. I do remember this.
It's brand new.
There's a lot of names. I think that's what makes the book a little confusing.
All three of us are being spoiled.
That's what we should do going forward. We read a book, we take notes, and then a year later, we meet up to talk about it.
None of us remember what the hell
It's a
happened.
surprise for everyone.
Yes, exactly. It's the perfect model. Okay. Before we get into it, Kayla came to us with a great question.
Yeah. You guys know how much I love 911, and you guys refuse to watch it with me, but
I tried.
they killed
Well,
off the
now,
dad of the 118. It's
yeah,
devastating.
and like that's been spoiled, so I wouldn't even enjoy it now.
It's spoiled for everyone. It spoils for me. I didn't even get to watch it live before I had to cry. How dare they kill Bobby Nash? I'm still convinced they're going to bring him back because they went for realism. This is the most unreal show. It started with a B NATO this season. But they, like a legitimate B NATO that then took down like a straight up commercial airliner that Jessica Bassett, she landed. No qualifications. She has never flown a plane before. Landed on the LA highway.
Women can do everything.
Yeah,
She can.
I'm
But
glad
they
we're
did just kill her
keeping
husband.
the
Her
realism
third
though.
husband has died. He killed.
She's
She's
been
really.
married three
Is it.
times over the course of the show?
Well, her one fiance died when she was like in college, first becoming a police
Okay.
officer. Her other husband actually late in life decided he was gay, left her, but then did die of cancer. So technically, it was her ex-husband, and Bobby
Okay.
was her current husband. So she's been going through it. Once again, realism, guys. Realism for this show. They killed him. But in honor of it, we should do fuck, marry, kill of the main like police procedurals, like
Dramas.
propaganda
Yeah.
shows.
On it. What's your
Criminal
favorite
Minds,
propaganda?
Law and Order SVU, 911. It feels weird saying like you'd fuck Law and Order SVU, I'm gonna be honest. Like I feel like it's not an option for the
Are
that.
we talking about the vibe of the show, the
I was
people
thinking the
on the
vibe of the
show, the vibe
show.
of the show?
Maybe
Okay.
it's like the vibe.
Okay.
Obviously the people, because it has Olivia Benson in it. So like
Yeah.
you do kind of want to get down with Olivia.
I know, but like Criminal Minds, there's a lot of like good-looking people that have been on that show over the years.
Absolutely. That is a fun crew to like
It's a fun
spend
crew.
time with. You guys don't watch it, but so is the 118.
Because I'm gonna say, like, a lot of people on Law and Order have anger issues.
Is true.
Oh yeah,
Not
Stabler.
Olivia, but a
Olivia.
lot of others.
To be fair, Stabler, the one who was definitely should
Yeah.
have got fired for roughing up half of the people he arrested. This is actually pretty hard. Well, now that they've killed Bobby Nash, I do want to kill 911 because they've broken that.
Oh,
Oh.
we're all killing 911.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can though, because I do love
Okay, I have an alternate thing for me and Eileen though.
Okay.
Why? Maybe we would fuck 911 because we don't know the vibe. We want to see what it's about.
Oh, it's like a one-night stand.
Yeah. Yeah.
True. Feel it out. Jennifer Love Hewitt's in it. She cries a
I
lot.
feel like you lost me at B-Nato though. Like I don't
I
want
don't
to
know how
fuck
that
a
lost you. I
B-Nato.
feel like that's a win. I feel that's a plus.
You know what? It's like one of those things you never know what's gonna happen. It's a little kooky, it's a little wild. The problem is like I don't know if I want to marry any of these vibes.
That's the thing. I am. Marriage is hard.
Marriage is
I feel
hard.
like.
I would marry Criminal Minds just because I'd want to hang with Mandy Patinkin.
Fair.
But I would have to choose the season of Criminal Minds that I got to marry because he left fairly early on.
And he did abandon that whole crew.
He
He never
just
spoke
straight
to
up
them
went,
again.
I don't want to do this anymore. Peace out.
Okay, I'm gonna marry 911 because like they have like parties to get. Like it's a family. I'm gonna marry into family. I'm gonna sleep with Criminal Minds because that's just a bunch of beautiful people. Can I just like take Olivia Benson out of SVU?
Know what? You
Well,
take
her
the
and
rest of
IT, actually. I'm
SVU,
gonna take the two of
and
the OGs that are still there and
I'll
kill the
keep
rest of
them.
them.
So you can kill the rest of them, and then I'll just fuck Olivia Benson.
Okay.
I'll marry Criminal Minds, and I'll kill 911.
Devastating.
Okay, yeah, I think I actually might also kill SVU, but I feel very guilty about it.
Killing SVU.
There's too much anger issues going on. That's just like not gonna be fun.
No, but you could pull Olivia Benson
I
out.
could just pull out Olivia Benson.
Yeah, that's my plan.
During COVID, I did binge watch SVU, and I don't think that was good for my mental health.
I'm shocked
I
to hear
watched
that.
season one to current season, man. I went through the whole.
That's crazy.
It was so much. But also, Hulu knows what it does just starting that next episode, like right the second the last one ends, because you gotta see the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
Because
can't leave it. I
you go
need
to
to know who
reach
did
for
it.
the remote as it's counting down and go, oh no, I didn't reach it in time. Now I
And then
have
you're
to
like, now
watch
I
it.
have to know who the murderer is,
And
even
I
though I
don't
know.
realize I've seen it before until I'm about 20 minutes in.
Too,
And I'm like, well,
when
I
you're
may as well
going.
watch to the end now.
It's like, I know that extra. I've seen that
Yeah.
person before.
To be fair, they have reused extras, so it could.
Oh, that's true. So it's not always a giveaway. You're
Someone was an
like,
extra and then
oh,
actually
John
became famous.
Stamos. I've seen that one before.
Yeah, it's the John Stamos one. That's when he just has like a million babies, right?
Yeah.
He's just spreading his seed.
Just, I don't know if they're still married, but he married like a Disney adult.
Oh my
Like
God.
a real Disney adult.
Did he?
I'm sorry. I Googled John Stamos Disney adult and got a People article. John Stamos said Ryan Gosling inspired him to embrace being a Disney adult. He's obsessed.
Yeah, so honestly, after I learned about this, I was like, I don't, John Stamos is
Oh.
very uncool to me now.
Okay, so he didn't just marry a Disney
He
adult.
became one. He
He is a
became
Disney
one.
adult. Yeah.
I'm obsessed. I'm a Disney adult. I go there by myself. I wear headphones. I go on rides. I have a mixtape.
No.
Ew.
Oh
Ew.
my God.
He shares his love for all things Disney with his wife. They just might be Disney's cutest couple.
I don't know who the
Okay.
real answer is,
Their
but it sounds.
son, one more quote. I'm sorry, Jess, but their son, Billy, now 5, is also growing up to be a Disney kid. And I've never wanted to call Child Protective Services on someone so badly.
The kid is fine. The kid, that is the normal time you should like Disney.
Yes, but you shouldn't be raised in an environment where you think it's normal to be a Disney adult.
That's
That's so
true.
true. I will die on
But
that
no,
hill.
you know what? I'm glad they're calling him a Disney kid and not a Disney person because that implies he's going to stay a Disney
That's
that's
true.
through to
Yeah.
adulthood. Call him a Disney kid. He's a Disney kid.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons I don't want kids, but sometimes I think I'm like, if I did have kids and my kid was like cool and not awkward, I would have nothing in common with him.
Like, how do we connect?
Like for about me, I'm like, I would never raise a kid that was cool. Like,
I guess that's
how would that
true.
happen? Where would they get that
Where
from?
would they learn? They wouldn't learn it from me. They
They
wouldn't learn it from anyone who could spend a lot of time around me. So
were smart enough to realize, oh no, my parents are a cautionary tale. Let me go opposite of whatever they're trying to teach me.
should we get into the book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the beginning of this book is a major downer, so we're about to really change the mood.
Oh no, from sex
Okay.
crimes to downers.
So, this book, obviously YA novel. Why would it not be? I read it.
Of
So,
course.
we start with our main girl, Emma. She's on a ride to her junior year at this place called the Darkwood Academy, which is a boarding school in Vermont, like rural Vermont. And I say a ride because her dad, her parents, her mom is dead. Her dad did not take her. She's going on her own. She's living, her dad lives in California. He just kind of like sent her on a plane and was like, go to school.
Huh. How old is
So
she?
junior year, so what, like
Oh,
16?
junior year. You said that and it went right out of my brain as soon
I
as you
feel like
mentioned
there's
it.
a school on the West Coast he could have found to like send her away to.
We find out later her dad went there. So that
Oh,
might
okay.
be, but like
Oh,
there
okay.
was weird shit that went, which we'll get into, that went down when her dad was there. It makes me like, why would you want your kid that involved in
He
that?
obviously
Whatever.
does not like her.
So, yes. The school has a dark past. There's a cliff on this campus. Mind you, this is never brought up again, where multiple students have completed suicide. It's also a very competitive school, so you basically have to be really good at something to get in. Emma is not up to par with the others. She's only like kind of good at math, and she wrote one award-winning story. So she's feeling a little like she's not up to
What an underachiever.
yeah.
Only one award-winning story?
Only one.
Disgusting.
So
Did it
she's
at
also,
least win multiple awards?
it won one award.
What a piece of shit. Yes.
Doesn't even count.
She's also having a terrible time because over the summer, also then this is even more when I read this, I'm like, and your dad sent you off by yourself. Over the summer, her best friend, who also went to the school, also lives in California, she found him dead.
Oh.
And then, as I already said, her mom is dead and she had cancer when she was a kid. She had some kind of experimental treatment where she almost died, but she like survived. And she's just like, ugh, it's just been a time. Like my 16 years have been a time. She's
I
also
love that you said that, like, she's being dramatic, like a normal 16-year-old, and you're like, she had cancer, and she's like, oh, it was so hard.
She had cancer, her mom is dead, she found her best friend dead. She's like, oh my god, what's going on?
16-year-old
typical
teenage
dramatics.
So she's thinking a lot about this upcoming year because there's a big situation happening at the Darkwood Academy, which is the arrival of the Similars. So these are six teenagers who are clones, but
of the same person.
They're clones, no, of different people, of six different people. There's a lot of like media intrigue about this situation because like they were all admitted to Darkwood Academy, which is a very competitive school. It's just kind of weird. They all ended up coming, like, why there? They really don't take transfer students, so they all come like juniors, and they're all juniors. They all come junior year, like very weird. Emma is also thinking about her best friend, which is this girl named Prue. Her dad is a big advocate for cloning because there's this whole history of like controversy with cloning.
And Prue's so the one that's dead?
No, Prue is alive. It's her other best friend.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I forgot. It's a tier.
It's a tier.
Not a person. Yeah.
Yes. So her dad is like really excited they let these clones into Darkwood Academy because they're like, oh, it's a big step forward in like cloning rights, whatever. So the backstory on the cloning situation: after the Dolly sheep experiment, scientists perfected cloning humans, and reproductive cloning got really popular because people would rather like copy themselves than risk outcomes for children that they can't predict. People started to get mad because they were like, cloning is unnatural, very religious undertones. And there was a lot of unrest about this. So cloning was ultimately banned in the US, but you can still get it abroad.
If you guys could clone yourself, would it change your mind about having children?
No.
No. I would hate
immediately,
myself
though.
Even more.
Yeah. Worst
guaranteed
outcome.
It's me? Hell no. That's already the main fear with having a child. I'm getting me. Gross.
Yeah, but in this world, people love themselves. They're very narcissistic, so they all want it. So.
In this magical world.
In this fantasy world.
What must be nice.
Yeah. Okay, so, but the clones that we're talking about, the Similars, they do not exist because of any of that. They exist because there was a lab mix-up. So there were six babies from six high-profile families that were cloned without the family's knowledge or permission. So it's really common that they would take the umbilical cord blood and bank it after birth because they can use it for stem cells in the future. But one of the lab techs took the cord blood, took out the genetic material, and somehow cloned the babies. I don't understand, blah, 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 something. Implanted it into surrogate mothers, made these six babies. And this was all kind of like a secret. And they lived their whole lives on some secluded island. This is a quote up north. And for some unknown reason, their man who raised them sent them off to meet their DNA parents and their originals. Oh. And all of the Similars are minors because they're all going to be high school students. So their identities have not been disclosed. But now we know why. All six originals are students at Darkwood Academy. So because of that, they got invited to attend, or like one of the parents put it up so they could attend. But because there's all this media situation and they don't know, the students who are not involved in this situation don't know who the student clones are. So they basically already know going into the school year, their phones are going to be basically completely disabled on campus. And they're only going to be allowed to like text something on the campus system and call their parents. No social media, no like other ways to use their phones.
And that's worse than the cancer.
That's worse. Yeah. Well, I mean, now this girl
messed up to be one of the kids whose clone is coming to school.
Yeah.
Would be pissed.
Well, as we're about to see, the families have all had mixed reactions to the situation. Some families are very excited. I will say that.
It's like now having a secret twin.
But it's weird because they weren't raised together. So they are like different people,
It would be better than me.
Yeah. It's like identical twins.
I was just thinking that. Well, I was like, I just know my twin would be so much cooler, and I'd be like, fuck that bitch.
God damn it.
It looks like she enjoys being alive.
Now I have
whatever.
Literally the better version of me running around. I'm going to kill myself, and it's fine because my parents have a double.
It's funny you say that. We'll get into it. So When she gets to school, there's like a clear divide on people who are wanting to welcome the similars. And some parents, when they're dropping their kids off, are like very vocal, like yelling at the headmaster. And he's just like, no, like I trust them. All the we all agreed they not we all, but the people who are involved in the situation, which are the parents of the people who whatever, have basically agreed that they can come here. So that's really what is important. Emma's just staying there by herself. So she begins doing what we'll soon learn is one of her favorite things to do, which is eavesdropping, on a conversation between two like of the popular girls who are Tessa and Madison. And Madison's parents are like involved in politics. And so she learns from eavesdropping. Madison has a similar, but her parents paid her off to like live a low profile life because it would ruin their political career because they're very vocally anti-cloning. And then they see Emma listening and they're like, what are you doing? And she just runs away.
So often have people just like physically running from situations. And like that's not a plausible like
Yeah.
that's not a plausible reaction to just run
Yeah.
away.
It's not. And also, they never confront her about this again. So
Okay, okay. Well,
she
'cause at
runs
least they
away.
just ran away. They're like, whatever, let's
Yeah.
not.
So she goes to her room, which is like the same room she was in last year. Prue, who is her best friend, is her roommate. And Prue apologizes to her because she missed Oliver's funeral. And Emma forgives her because Prue's mom is also sick with cancer. So what you gonna do?
Doesn't have cancer.
Who doesn't have cancer in this story? Okay. So then Emma's like, I just need some air. She goes for a walk to there's a lake where she and Oliver used to go together to hang out. And she's walking up and she spies from a distance a group of three people who she realizes are all similars of Tessa, one of those popular girls, Prue, her best friend, and some guy named Jake, who we haven't mentioned before. And she knows immediately they're similars because while they do look like the OG person, they dress differently and they kind of carry themselves differently. So she can kind of tell it's like not her best friend. And she kind of figures that piece out.
Did she know
And
Prue had a similar?
no.
I'm going to tell you
She.
right now, if you guys had an identical twin that I didn't know about, I would not be able to tell it wasn't you.
Similar, probably.
I would be like,
Yeah.
Kayla, it's not a funny bit anymore. Just let it
But
go.
what if it was like me, but it was a goth, like a true goth.
Honestly, I would still think you were just doing a bit.
I would be like, did you hit your head really hard?
But they're whispering and she's trying to eavesdrop, but like she can't hear them. So she gives up and she goes back inside. There's like an assembly happening, but she finds Prue and she's like, why didn't you tell me you had a similar? We just talked like 5 minutes ago. And Prue's like, well, basically, the guardian of the similars, who's like this man they were living with on the island,
Guardian.
asked us to keep the identity secret until it was kind of like revealed to everyone at one time, which why that to me is like the worst plan I've ever heard.
Also, come on, if you're your best friend, you break those kind of rules.
And why is anyone listening to the
Yeah.
Guardian in the first place?
Again, we don't know anything about this man, creepy little man living on an island with these six children.
Yeah, do we have
So
like a safe question or safe word in case we ever meet a clone of ourselves or each other?
yeah, it's got to be something really
Like
out there.
you
What's
guess, I'm
something we would
asking if
never
they'll eat an
say?
arm because I'm pretty sure. Or
If they say no, you're like,
they
this
don't
bitch
say
is a
yes
clone.
with the quickness that Jess says
And
it.
they'd say, of course I would.
Yeah, if they're not like, why are you asking me this? Of course. Just hold a cat near Eileen. See
Yeah, that's true.
if
Oh my God, if my clone wasn't
the EpiPen comes out or not.
allergic to cats, I'd be pissed. This has made my life so difficult.
Okay, but Prue explains like her family and her love her similar. She like came and spent 2 weeks with them over the summer. And Emma's like, of course you love her. She's literally you. You love yourself. So
Emma is a great friend.
Narcissist, of course you love your twin.
then the assembly starts, and the headmaster is like, you guys have to be really nice to the similars because it's hard for them too. And also, like, if you end up in a situation where you're not at school, please do not talk about what's going on. This is supposed to like their identity, they're minors. We're not supposed to be revealing their identity to like the media. There's a lot of media attention on the situation. Then they have a little ceremony where everybody gets their key, which is like a room key. It lets them in the building, but somehow I don't understand how they use technology in this book. It is linked to who they are as a person. So like only you can use your key.
like a fingerprint, like with the similar, would the clone be able to
yes.
use it? Or it's
the clone,
the
yes.
DNA, right?
The clones can use the other one's keys.
Okay.
Then they bring up all the similars and they introduce them one by one. They all have the same first letter name as their original.
Oh my gosh.
Except for one of them. And that pisses me off. He is the special one, so I will tell you who it is in a second. They all have British accents.
Oh, I thought they were from Canada.
They're all the well, British
later accents. We find out they had a British nanny.
Okay.
Anyways.
I love that it's just the British version of them.
In like, that case, it makes total sense.
It's your clone, but British.
And that similar that Madison's family paid away, she's there. Oh. And the last similar walks in, and it is Oliver's clone. His name is Levi. So he did not get an O name.
You think the author just couldn't think of another O name?
I think the author was just like, let's just, instead of matching the first letter, match the next three.
It's good enough.
Yeah.
She just couldn't think of Oswald.
Yeah.
She's probably, is this a love interest? Because Oswald's not a sexy name.
It's true.
It's kind of a love interest. It's complicated. Okay.
Because it looks like her dead friend.
Because it looks like her dead friend, so it's complicated.
Yeah, that might be a little complicated.
Because she literally is like, after this, she's like, this is so fucked up because you look like my dead best friend. It's like literally like seeing a ghost. But she's also like, I know it's a different person. Like, I know it's not him.
Yeah,
but yes. She's like, I need some air. She goes outside. The assembly ends. She goes to the lake again. And she realizes that Levi is there. And immediately she's like, you know, he is more muscular than Oliver, though.
Is this your hotter twin?
Maybe it's good he lived. He is the hotter one.
Yeah.
And he's got that British accent that we all love.
Yeah.
So she's like just staring at him. And he's like, I look like your best friend, Oliver, right? Sorry. And she just slaps him across the face. And now
an escalation.
She's just like full on attacking him. They have a crowd forming around them. She's like literally beating him up. He's so strong, he keeps like pushing her away, but she keeps like getting back in there. Like another
But she wouldn't do that if he was a dork named Oswald.
So true. And then he's just kind of like, what do you want me to do? Like, I can't help that I look like him. And fair enough.
Good
but,
point.
So Emma, whatever. There's the fight, it breaks up, and other people are like, oh my god, Levi's so heartless. I'm like, no, okay, to be fair, he was just standing there.
Yeah, what was he supposed to do?
Being attacked.
I think the culture is just a lot of the students don't like the clones.
Fair.
Because they're clones. So she tries to call her dad. He doesn't pick up. Again, doesn't care. So she just takes a sleeping pill because she has all these sleeping pills that she got from a doctor after Oliver died and goes to sleep. And then at dinner, now here's where they're going to find out where they fall in their class rank. Now, this ranking is very important because if you end up at a certain 5 or better, then you become a part of the 10. So everyone takes this test. It literally ranks all the students 1 through 90. And then if you're in the top 5, you get into the 10, which is like an elite society, which you don't really know that much about until you're in it.
I'm sorry. Why is it if you're in the top 5, it's called
the
10?
This is bothering me.
No, because the other 5 are 5 seniors who were inducted when they were juniors.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Emma does not want to join. And this is something I do respect about her because they meet at midnight and she likes to sleep.
Yeah, I would not show up to a single meeting.
Honestly, seeing the school's letting them hold midnight meetings.
So far, I actually do kind of like Emma because she's eavesdropping all the time. She's dramatic as fuck. And she's like, you know what? Sleeping is really nice, actually. And
I don't want to be topping up my class. I want to sleep.
I get all of that.
But unfortunately for her, she ends up number 5. So she is a part of the group.
Sneaking in.
Screwed up in reverse.
The other 4 are 3 of the clones, including Levi and Prue. Prue's clone did not make it in. Emma, this puts Emma in a terrible mood. She's already in a bad mood. So she's like, I'm going back and taking another sleeping pill. I'm passing right out. When she wakes up, she's literally in the lake in the middle of the night. And she's like, what the fuck is happening?
Wait, like on a floaty?
Mm-mm. Nope. Fully in the lake.
Oh.
It turns out this is her initiation into the 10. Probably because she had the sleeping pill. She didn't wake up when they moved her.
Oops.
Her Prue had to throw her in the lake and then had to rescue her because, like, that was part of it. I don't really understand.
They didn't try to make sure the girl was awake before they chucked her into a lake.
No. Okay. Madison, who's a leader of the 10, who's like the popular girl with the political things, she tells them, like, this is actually super serious, super important. You have to take it seriously or you'll suffer the consequences. If you can do this, stick through the 10, you're set for life. Like, the Darkwood Academy has so many connections. You'll basically get to go to whatever college you want, like, whatever. If you don't do this, all of you who are here today, just so happens, are on scholarship. So if you get kicked out of the 10, you auto rank to the end of the class. And if that happens, your scholarships are reneged. So they have a high motivation to stay in the 10. Yeah. Like,
Prue's an influential enough person that they stole her DNA to make her one of the similars, but she's also on scholarship?
Yes.
Doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, I don't really know. Prue's dad 16 years ago was influential enough that they wanted to do this.
Emma's dad has enough money that he went here and now is sending her across the country to go here.
But on scholarship.
But yeah. On scholarship. Yeah.
On scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And all these little clonies are on scholarship?
Yes.
The Guardian doesn't have good money?
Well, he does, but yes.
He's going to pay for these fucking
kids. Has he been arrested for creating illegal children?
No. Their task is to bring the name of a student not living up to the Darkwood standard to the next meeting.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound creepy.
Because, yeah, the 10 weeds out mediocrity. So they all go back to their rooms now. Emma can't fall asleep because I guess that pill's worn off. So she hears footsteps in the hall. So she's just like, whatever, let me nosy over and see what's going on. And she sees Maud, who's Madison similar, MM, leaving out a side door. So she's like, let me go see what's happening. Follows her out to the lake where there's two other similars, including Levi. She then sees Levi shoot off the ground, twist two rotations, and land gently. And
like an ice skater.
Except just from the floor. And Emma thinks, wow, he's doing acrobatics. And then
I do those at night too.
And then she's like, let me get a little closer so I can eavesdrop. So she hears Maud telling Levi, like, your form is a little off. And then she turns to whoever else is there and is like, have you started yet? Levi goes, no, it's a terrible thing to ask of us. Like, what gives him the right to ask us to do this? And Maud replies, well, we wouldn't even be here without him, and we kind of have no choice. And then Levi starts talking in French, which Emma knows a little bit of French, but she's not fluent.
Also, why didn't they just do this in the beginning?
Like, I don't know. She knows enough to get the gist when she's eavesdropping. Okay. He's basically saying they shouldn't have come here.
Dramatic pause.
And Maud is like, no, the Guardian loves us. Like, he's looking out for us. Maud also says, well, Levi, like, you're the Guardian's favorite. Like, you know, he wouldn't do anything to hurt you. But he's, like, upset. So he, like storms off. But as he's walking past Emma, he literally makes direct eye contact with her. So she's like, I'm caught. But he doesn't
stop. Girl
didn't
even try to hide.
He just keeps going. Okay. No. Levi, Maud's, she's still sitting there listening. And Maud and whoever else is there, which that's not important, says, Levi's going to ruin this. Like, he doesn't accept that this is our purpose, but we can't stop it. Even if we come to regret it, we have to do it. So Emma's heard enough. She just runs back to her room. Fast forward, classes are starting. Emma goes to her first class. Of course, Levi's in it and sits next to her. And this class is a current events class and a kind of like a debate class. So basically, every time they have this class, they're talking about clones, which I'm like, that is so rude. Like, Levi's in the class. Initially, Prue and Emma defend clones. And then Madison's like, well, if you love clones, you should love Levi because he's just like Oliver.
Ooh.
And then she switches sides. She's like, actually, I hate clones. I hate Levi. And then her and Levi are like screaming at each other in this class. So they get sent to the headmaster's office and they get assigned a week of detention, repairing and repainting an old boathouse together. So they go down there. Emma puts on noise canceling headphones just to ignore him. And then her phone dies. And so she takes her headphones off. And then they're still working in silence when they hear a blood curdling scream from inside the boathouse. This is the part that doesn't make sense. They go inside to check it out and they find a body in a canoe. Emma sweeps the hair out of this person's face. It's Prue. Prue is on the crew team. So she often was in the boathouse. The way they describe it, it was very large. So that's why I was thinking at first it would be very small, but I guess it's very big. So that's why they didn't know someone was in there. They find a pulse, but she's ice cold and not responding. And now remember, Emma's phone is dead. And Levi doesn't know how to work a phone because he's never had a phone before coming to school. So he carries Prue back to campus. They call a nurse. Ambulance is called. Police comes. Prue is taken away. They don't let Emma go to the hospital with her. She's distraught. And Levi's trying to comfort her. Emma's just like, this is my second body I found this year. When can a person get a break?
My other best friend.
And she just like runs away back to her room.
This girl runs everywhere.
She's very fit.
She's training to jump and like pirouette in the sky and then land gently.
So that night at dinner, she sees like all the different similars sitting together, but Pippa, who's Prue's similar, is kind of sitting off to the side crying. So she goes to sit with Pippa. She's just like trying to figure out some more information. And Pippa's being a little open. So she shares that like they didn't have a lot to do at the island. All they really did was study. So that's why they all like speak so many languages and like have so many skills, because there was like nothing, there was no like TV. They had nothing to do all day. She's like, interesting. And this is also where she learns about the British nanny. So she's like, it's all coming together. Now Emma does have to go to detention the next day, but it's been moved to the library. They're like, the boathouse is the crime scene, so we're gonna take that off your plate. There's already three people in the library: Jake, Tessa, and Madison, not their similars, the real people. So again, we're eavesdropping. Tessa is saying Madison didn't show up for her blood work and she won't be able to participate if she doesn't go to the appointments, and we got no context for this, and they move on. So, but it's important, so I have to include it.
We'll come back to that later.
They're just chatting about the similars. This is actually when Emma learns that the keys are interchangeable between the similars and the originals, because it's linked to their DNA. So Levi shows up and literally catches her eavesdropping. And then the other people see them and are like, okay, we're going to leave. So Levi's like, have you heard anything about Prue? And Emma's like, no, I didn't. So they decide to walk to this hospital, which is only a few miles away. I'm like, kids can do whatever they want at this school. It makes no sense.
You have to stay on campus.
Maybe they're breaking the rules. Who's to say? But now that they're like, he agreed to do this with her, she's being a little nicer to him. Levi's asking Emma, like, what was Oliver like? Like, I never got to meet him. And he also asked about Oliver's parents, because technically they're his DNA parents. They were told about Levi. This is what he was told. They were told about Levi, but they sent him a note saying they don't want to meet him. And Emma's like, well, they're coming to campus in a few weeks. That's really weird, because there's a wing of a building being dedicated in memory of Oliver. So you may have a chance to meet them. Who's to say? So they get to the hospital and they learn Prue was discharged. Well, not really. Prue was left the hospital.
Like against medical advice.
You don't know that at this point. They think that she left whatever, but she was transferred to a bigger hospital. Because, like, this is a hospital in rural Vermont. So,
okay. She needs some real medical care.
Yeah.
Emma is, like, furious. She yells at this woman and then leaves. And she's going
chill
down
out, Emma.
She's going down the street, alternating between running, yelling, and throwing rocks.
True tantrum.
Love it.
Levi joins her at throwing rocks, because why not?
Why not?
And Levi's trying to comfort her, but he's just being so awkward. So Emma starts to look at him like, what is wrong with you? Just be reassuring, like, say something nice. And he tells her, look, I'm not normal. Like, I grew up in isolation with five clones who I have nothing in common with. And then I get sent to this prep school and I'm like, just everyone thinks I'm this dead guy. But like, he's like, I haven't really tried to comfort someone before because there hasn't really been this situation before. So sorry. And she's like, yeah, you're not normal. You're right.
What's your excuse for not knowing how to comfort somebody? You have not been in isolation. I guess everyone around you dies though. So
yeah, she found a few dead bodies.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Just a few though. Like, just a get few. Your shit together, Emma. Jesus.
Then they just walk back in silence because, like, they're like, that conversation was enough. So when they get back, Pippa's waiting for Emma with a package from Oliver's mom, but she just stuffs it under her mattress. She's like, I can't deal with more today. The next day in class, the principal calls Emma into her office, and Pippa's already there with Prue's dad. So they go for a walk, and he's like, oh, Prue loved it here. And Emma and Pippa are hysterical. They're like, loved it. She's dead. And he's like, oh, no, sorry. We just transferred her to a bigger hospital. That's where they learn.
Oh, okay.
She's in a medically induced coma because she had multiple skull fractures and a brain bleed. But he says she's going to make it. She just needs time to rest. This is how they confirm that Prue was attacked and didn't just have some kind of medical issue and pass out, which, like, they had suspected, but it was never told to them.
Oh, okay. So the dad's just, like, spilling all the secrets.
Yes. Okay. So then that afternoon, she has to go to detention again. They are working in silence. I don't know what they're working on. They're working in silence, though. And then Emma's like, oh, shit, I got that package from Oliver's mom. So when they're done, she, like, runs back to her room to open it.
And she forgot about it?
I guess.
Like, this seems like a big deal. Like, my dead best friend's mom sent me a package. Like,
this is too much. Need a minute.
I have to go throw some rocks first.
Yeah, she has to go throw rocks. Exactly. She opens it. It's a note from Oliver's mom, basically saying, like, we love you. We'll see you at the dedication ceremony. We're looking forward to seeing you. And then closed is a gift and a letter from Oliver. The gift is his school key. And she decides, like, not to open the letter yet. So that night at dinner, the headmaster...
Why not open the letter?
She has too many emotions going on. She can't take it right
now. I think
the
letter's probably going to explain why you have the key.
She's run out of rocks to throw at Kayla. Have a little compassion.
Don't bend a forgal rocks.
So that night at dinner, the headmaster comes in and officially announces, like, Prue's taking a leave of absence from school. So because of that, the rules dictate that there has to be 10 people in the 10. Prue is out, so whoever was number 6 gets pulled up into the fifth spot, and that person is Pippa. So now Pippa is in the 10. Oh. So over the next few weeks, tensions are rising on campus. There's posters being put all over campus, like anti-clone, anti-clone, and Madison is literally passing out these posters as well. They're like, it's clear who is involved. Then she's like, okay, we have to have another midnight session tonight.
Why does Madison get to choose?
She's the leader.
Of the 10?
Yeah, because she's a senior.
Oh, I thought they were all juniors. Okay.
There's 5 seniors, 5 juniors. So
but I thought all the clones and
the clones are juniors. Madison is not a clone. Madison's an original.
But the originals can be older. It's all the clones.
I guess. Well, because they made the clones. It's actually weirder to me that Pippa and Prue are the same in the same year.
Yeah.
Because they made the clones of the babies.
Yeah.
So the babies were already born.
Yeah, that's weird.
Anyways, so they go to the room where the 10 meets. And they're early. So they're kind of like looking at the photos on the walls. And Emma finds a photo of a bunch of old members and notices Oliver's mom, Prue's dad, and Emma's dad, who never mentioned he was in the 10. And then she keeps looking and she finds Madison's mom, Jake's dad, and Tessa's dad. Now, if you're listening, except for Emma, all of those people were cloned.
Oh.
So they all sit down, and when Madison gets there, and Emma's immediately like, I did not bring you someone's name of someone who's not been doing things. And Madison's like, I don't care. We have other plans tonight. Who cares? We're going to inject you with something that basically makes you divulge your secrets so we can build trust amongst each other. So they inject Maude, who's Madison similar. And she says she's glad she came to Darkwood, even though Madison's family's been threatening her. Their guardian told her, you just have to tolerate what Madison's doing and how she asks. They're like, why? And Maude says the guardian wants to destroy Madison. Then they inject Emma, and she shares that when Oliver died, they weren't speaking for a few months because he had told her that he was in love with her and she did not reciprocate that. And then the other ones are not important. They get released.
He's in love with his hot clone.
What would your 10th secret be? Do you get to choose, like, what your secret is divulged, or do they ask you questions?
They ask you questions.
Okay.
So they obviously asked Maude a very pointed question because Madison was in charge.
Yeah. Because I feel like if you could choose, you could just choose something kind of innocuous.
Exactly. But because, like, Levi was there, Madison was asking about Oliver to be kind of, like, mean.
I get it.
So that was how that came up. When they're released, Emma's kind of, like, in her feels. Because, like, she remembers what she said. And she's like, oh, like, I didn't really share that with anyone here. Because that was, like, between me and Oliver. And now it's, like, everyone knows. And I'm, like, I feel kind of bad. So then she decides to go back and read Oliver's note, which reads, I'm sorry, this key is for you. It'll explain everything, especially about him. So she's like, the key will let me into his old room, which in theory, no one has been reassigned. So all his stuff will still be there. So he must have left something for me in his room. She just needs Levi to help her get into the room. Mind you, it's 2 a.m., but she doesn't care. She knocks on his window and they go to his room. They search, but they don't find anything. And while they're searching, they're chatting about their debate they had in clone class or debate class. And Emma brings up a comment someone made about this clone scientist. And Levi just like shuts the conversation down so fast that Emma's like, And then she like is digging through her brain and remembers that she saw that guy's name and photo in that photo that she was looking at in the tens group with her dad and Oliver's mom.
Ooh.
So she's like, huh.
So the Guardian? The Guardian?
Well,
unclear yet.
She begins researching the scientist. His name is Albert Seymour. As a part of her research, she also finds out he had a brother named John. She's like, that name, John Seymour, was also on the 10's name list, but there was no photo.
Okay.
And Levi catches her doing this research. She's doing it in the library. And he's just like, can you just let this go? Like, please let this go. But, you know, Emma, she's like always trying to be in business she's not supposed to be in. So she's like, we'll see.
It's the most relatable part of her character.
Yeah. A few weeks pass, and the headmaster announces, like, randomly, everyone's going to get new keys, which is a first since the history of all these keys being established. Usually you just use the same key every year. And the difference is the new keys can track them by GPS. And the parents actually asked for this because Prue was attacked. So then they're like, oh, if it was another student, we would know who it was because the keys would have like pinged together.
That's actually not a nefarious reason.
They all turn in their old keys. But Emma's like, so I'm not going to turn in Oliver's old key because no one knows that I have it. I'm just going to keep it. Now we're at the dedication day. So she's pulled out of class to meet with Oliver's parents. They hug. They're like catching up. And she goes, so like, by the way, like, I know you guys don't want to meet him, but Oliver's clone is here. And she's like looking at their faces and being like, oh, they didn't know he existed.
Oh.
And the mom is like, bring him over, like, get him over here. He comes and the mom is like ecstatic. Why would this happen?
She's like, perfect. My other one died. So replacement. Yes.
But Levi is upset because he's like, you guys just see me as a clone. You don't see me as like my own person. You want me to be Oliver. You won't let me be Levi. But despite this, he gets lunch with the parents and Emma eats with Pippa. And Pippa's like, why did no one tell them? Like, that's weird. The rest of us went and met these other people.
Yeah.
And it didn't always go good, but like they all know we exist. And while they're talking, Emma sees Levi, because he's eating lunch in the same room as her, leave the table abruptly. So she runs after him. And apparently at the lunch table, they called their family lawyer. Essentially, they were like, we're going to give you the inheritance that was meant for Oliver. Because Oliver's family had money.
Damn, they're moving quick.
Includes voting shares of stock in this family company that's very successful. And then he's mad because he's like, they're literally just think of me as Oliver. I'm like, dude, get your bag.
Yeah.
Also, like, of course they think of you as Oliver. You're a clone of their son.
Yeah.
Their son who just died.
Yeah. So the next morning, she gets up to say goodbye to Oliver's parents. And they tell her that after lunch, they got back to Levi again. And he ultimately agreed to take the shares. And then he immediately sold them to his guardian, who is now a stakeholder in their company. So now Emma's like, that was weird. She starts looking for Levi around campus the next few days, but she can't find him. Now she's like, who is this guardian? The guardian is named Augustus Gravel. And she finds It's quite a name. She finds a ton of articles on his accomplishments in business, but nothing about him before the age of 30. And she's like, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And now she can't finish her research because she's told the 10 is having another meeting, but it's in a few nights. So she's like, I gotta go just like mentally prepare for this. Like, it's too much. She's going for a walk. It's at night. She leaves her key behind, a big no-no. You're always supposed to have a key with you, but she has Oliver's on her. She walks to the lake and she sees the similars all do a synchronized dive into the water and then stay underwater for 4 minutes. And wait, and then they run out of the water and start climbing trees and jumping out of them.
Parkour.
Literally. While she's watching this, someone grabs her arm. It's Levi. And he's like, you saw that? Like, yeah, she
no,
saw it, of course.
No, I didn't.
What?
I was throwing rocks over here.
She's like, I don't care about that. Why did you sell the shares? And he was like, I can't tell you a lot of stuff, but I can tell you that that was not my decision. She's like, okay, but like Oliver's family is like family to me. And he's like, okay, but what you don't understand is all of us here, all the similars, were sent here on our own like missions. And you might think I look like a normal teenager, but I'm very advanced in everything. Like, I don't need to come here for education. I'm basically like a genius.
She's like, well, good for you. Some of like, us are here to learn.
Yeah. Some of us are here to eavesdrop. And we honestly could have taken those five top spots, but we didn't because we didn't want it to be suspicious that we were all number one.
So now we just have to like, kill a few extras to get there.
That's less yeah. suspicious.
And he's like, my task was to get the shares. But the reason I gave them to Gravel is because I was like, he was worried that I was getting too emotional at the situation and I was going to back out from what I had to do. And then Levi storms off. So now Emma is like, I'm suspicious of all these people. Something's not right. And Pippa tries to approach her as normal. And Emma's like, I saw you guys doing your little dives at the lake.
I saw you climbing trees.
And then she storms, and I know about your task. And she storms away. I'm like, girl, ask a question.
Yeah. Anyway,
she wanted a mic drop. Like, I know you don't
not
know.
Not good at being sneaky.
No. And so then she goes back to her room. Oh, I forgot to say this earlier. When Prue's dad came to tell them Prue was in a different hospital, he gave her a gift. And she also didn't open this one. So now she's like, okay, let me open the gift. It's a book. And a paper falls out. And it says, stop looking. You won't find her. And it's signed from Prue's dad.
What?
So now Emma is freaking out. So she goes to the head. She goes to the headmaster and tells him all of this. And he's like, okay, well, unfortunately, she's not enrolled in the school right now. So her parents don't need to tell me where she is. They don't need to give me an update on her attack. And that's a police matter. I can't help you. But then the next day, two police officers come and find her. They're like asking her these questions. And based on the conversation, she realizes that Levi is a suspect.
Oh.
And right after they talk to her, Levi's taken down to the police station. He comes back to school. But he looks upset. Emma, like, follows him around and finally, like, corners him. And she goes, sorry, I actually think that was a little bit my fault. Because when they asked me these questions, I think I unintentionally made you look suspicious. I really didn't mean to. My bad.
I told them about you climbing trees. And they were yeah. like, only killers do that.
And she's like, I think it was a little subconscious because I am suspicious of you. Because you're not sharing the whole story of what's going on with me. He's like, okay, I'll tell you a little bit. The similars, like, our bodies don't function like regular bodies. They function in a way that no one can explain. When Seymour's cloning experiment showed he could clone monkeys with superior genes. And it also meant that they like ran faster, couldn't break their bones. They healed better. And he's like, so we have those traits now too.
So they're half monkey.
They're like invincible, kind of.
They're superheroes.
They're superheroes. So he's like, you can't tell anyone. And now Emma's mad. So again, she's pushing him. She's yelling at him. And then
girl needs to chill. Like, take some of your sleeping pills. Go take your Xanax.
Like, why did he have to
chill the fuck out?
He catches her and then they kiss. And then when they stop kissing, he's like, we don't even like each other. And she's like, yeah, we don't. And then he's like, just pretend for both of our sakes that you don't know anything I just told you. I only told you this so you stop making me look suspicious to everyone. So like, we need to move on. And the other similars overhear this while they approach him. And then they confront Levi because they're like, why the fuck would you tell her about our genetics? Yeah. That's not good for us to have everyone knowing what's going on.
Why is no one having private conversations in the school? They're just always talking loudly.
Because they have no phones.
Because they have no phones.
That's true.
And then they're trying to talk to Emma, being like, are you going to hold our secret or not? Like, let us know. While they're doing that, Emma's like side-eyeing Levi a little bit, and she sees he has gone over to Theodora, who's Tessa's similar. He's like whispering to her, and then he like puts his arm around her, and he's like, okay, but I also want to say that Emma and I got caught up in the moment and we kissed and it doesn't mean anything.
Oh my god, Levi.
And Emma's like so confused in this moment, and she's like, oh my god, Levi and Theodora are a couple. And I did not pick up on that at all. And then she's also thinking, like, why wouldn't Pippa tell me that? Pippa and I are friends, kind of. But, like, I wasn't trusting her, but we were friends. She thought we were friends. Why wouldn't she tell me that they were dating?
She didn't know we were not friends.
Yeah.
I was her friend. She just wasn't my friend.
Because they're all trying to take you down, have they not? Yeah. They all have their missions against you guys. Like, of course they don't tell you.
So Emma's like, yeah, guys, I'll keep your secret. No worries. Gotta go. Bye. Runs away. So now Emma's like, I don't know what's going on. This is creepy. She starts avoiding all the similars for like 2 weeks. And this is leading up to winter break. So she runs to Pippa on the last day before winter break. And she does tell her about the note that she got from Prue's dad. For break, Emma goes home to California, spends all of her time alone because her dad is working long hours. She uses her resources and is doing more research on the Seymours. And really, all that she can find is that the brother got expelled from Darkwood Academy. So when she gets back to school after winter break, there's a rally for the anti-clone movement. And she sees Tessa, Jake, and Madison, they're OGs, in the corner talking. But this time she's too slow to eavesdrop. But they start walking away. She's like, maybe I didn't lose my chance because we're going to a quieter spot where I could eavesdrop.
Meanwhile, they're like, we have to get away from this girl.
Oh, thoughtful of them.
They walk around the lake to this building on the side of campus where it used to be a research facility, but it was closed down. And it's off limit to students. She sees them use their keys and their keys let them into the building. So she's like, that's weird. Now, this is a part I think is very unrealistic. Emma is so fast that she can catch the door before it closes, but not fast enough where they see her do it. So she gets inside and sneaks inside.
Is she invisible?
Slowest door in the world?
Now she gets down to eavesdropping. She hears them say they're waiting for the principal and the headmaster. This is where I learned they're not the same person.
I was so confused by that. I was like, what do you mean?
And Jake says, I feel like the headmaster was really happy at the anti-cloning rally. And Madison's like, he's keeping up his charade. He's got to do that. And so Emma hears footsteps coming, but she has like nowhere to hide because they're in a random building that's not meant for hiding. And so she jumps into the elevator and just goes up to the top floor. And when she walks out, she's in this lab. And at the end of the hall is a massive locked room. Even though it's locked, she tries to enter it. Obviously, it's locked. She cannot get in. So a hologram of her appears on the door when she tries to open it. She is, like, desperate to get into this room, but she's, like, really cannot figure a way to get it unlocked. So she runs out of the building and runs and finds the similars. So she tells them, here's everything I saw. I'm very suspicious. This is where they're going. I already know about that blood work, right? So this is where they're going to do some blood work. And there's a lab and there's something weird going on. If we can enter this locked room, I think we can prove. Now we're back on this. I don't know why. Madison attacked Prue.
Why does she trust the similars to help her on this? They are actively trying to destroy
because of the key card. They agree. And Madison, even Maude is like, yeah, down with Madison. This is perfect. So she fakes an illness, gets to go to the nurse's office, and steals some injections that will make people more like trustworthy, more trusting.
Why do they just have this lying around at this school?
I don't know. Why is it not locked? I don't know.
They're toasting all the kids.
Why do they have it, period? Second of all, why is it not locked away?
The next day at sunrise, they catch Madison on a run, inject her. She takes him to the hologram room. She asks Maude, why are you doing this? And Maude is like, don't worry about it. They all press keys in or something. And Emma's hologram comes up when they're in the room. And what comes up is all this personal information about Emma. And when she looks around, she sees like there's holograms of all the students. And then she's like, oh my God, I have Oliver's key. So she presses it down to get his info. And at first she doesn't find anything she doesn't know until they see his birth certificate and it lists his birth father as John Underwood. She's like, that's
John
weird.
Underwood, do we know?
Because I met Oliver's dad. So that's really weird.
So we don't know.
We don't know yet, but I'll tell you. Okay. So remember, Albert Seymour, the crazy scientist, had a brother who was named John. When Emma's contemplating this, Maude realizes that they also have all this medical data on all the students, which means they know about the special things about the similars because they have all this medical data. So
they know they're superheroes.
They have the proof. And she's like, that's fucked up. And then before they leave, they're like, now we have you here, Madison. Did you attack Prue? And they were like, she was like, I didn't. I was tutoring. So dead end. We skip ahead a bit. It's parents weekend. Now, the similars are generally speaking, spending it with their originals families. And even Prue's dad comes to spend it with Pippa, except for Levi. Levi's left out. And Emma's dad comes, which is shocking because, like, he didn't spend any of winter break with her, but he comes and flies across the country to go to rural Vermont for 2 days. He's giving mixed signals here. She tries to confront Prue's dad, and he's just like, I don't care. I'm not talking about it. They all, because they're all in the 10, they all get to go to this special dinner at the headmaster's house. Everybody gets, like, seated down. There's already tension at the table because Tessa's dad is going to prison for tax fraud. And the evidence that convicted him is from an article that Prue's dad wrote.
Awkward.
There, and Tessa's family's there. So it's like very awkward. As soon as they kind of sit down, Emma's like, you know what's really funny to me? All of you guys went to school together and never mentioned it?
Love it.
And
I love
also,
the drama.
What about Underwood? And he got expelled. And like, what's his deal? And the headmaster is like so confused. He's like, how do you know anything? And the adults are like, it was actually a huge scandal, so everyone kind of knows about it. It's not a huge secret like you think it is. But Underwood
she saw
died
it in the paper.
Yeah. Underwood died in a car accident 13 years ago. Tessa's mom is like, why did no one tell me about the clones? She just like changed the subject. And she's like, we invited our clone into our house, which her clone's Theodora. And she broke into Tessa's dad's computer and then gave those files to Prue's dad. And that's how the article got written.
Oh.
And Emma turns to Levi and goes, oh, that was her task? And Levi's like, shut up.
Emma loves drama, and I love that about her.
She's such a monster.
Yeah.
And her dad sees them talking and is like, look, Emma, I support clones, but I don't support these similars, so I really don't want you being friends with them. And then Emma's just like, don't worry, like Levi's already told me we mean nothing to each other. Like, girl.
Not what a believable way to say that.
So the rest of the dinner is awkward, obviously. She does get to eavesdrop on the headmaster talking to Madison's parents, and he's telling them, we're nearly done with it. I couldn't be more pleased with our data so far. Like, thank you so much for your generous donation. Also, Emma gets an update on Prue from Prue's dad. He says, look, she's doing much better. It's just not safe for her to come back here. So she's not coming back here. Which, like, fair. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
she got attacked
on
campus.
Twin clones running around.
Some time passes. And then Emma hears her debate teacher is getting... He's leaving slash got fired. Got kind of let go. She runs to see him. And she just bombards him. Like, here's everything I know about the keys and the similars. Do you know anything else? And he tells her, the keys aren't just storing your information. You can also record things on them, like a flash drive. And the schools kind of stopped advertising this because students were recording inappropriate things. And so, but it exists. And you need a passcode and you can get the data. And she's like, oh my God, that is why Oliver left me his key. Because he wants me to see something he recorded for me. So she gets Maude, who's a computer genius. They hack into it. It says, hi, Emma. Sorry to be so cryptic, but if you're listening to this, I'm not there to say what I have to say in person, and I'm sorry. He goes into this whole story that in the spring prior to this year, he was trying to make a documentary about Darkwood's hidden gems, and it brought him to the old science building. 20 years ago, it was a fully functioning research lab, but a couple students broke in and set all the animals loose. It caused a lot of negative press for the school. The research center was closed down, but he was like determined, like, I'm going to go film inside there. To his surprise, his key unlocked the door and he discovered all the holograms. Oliver had a teacher helping him who got him a pass to enter a room that couldn't be traced to his key. And that's how he actually found the birth certificate and he knew who his father was.
Okay.
And he was working on this until he was able to call up Underwood's hologram, which didn't have any image, just information. And he was scrolling through the data and he found current vital signs, which means that Underwood is alive.
Oh.
So he decided, I'm going to go confront Albert Seymour because that's his brother. So maybe he'll know something. So he signed up for a film program in the city that Seymour lived in and spent a lot of time with him, like on breaks. And he thought they were getting along. And then he overheard a phone call where Seymour told him, Like, basically, he's tried to send Oliver away and he's not taking hints. So, Oliver.
Speaking of feeling
Bestie.
autistic, you're like, we are getting along so well. Meanwhile, this man is like, please leave my home.
Well, also, he's like, oh, this is my uncle. Like, he's family, whatever. He snuck into the house when Seymour was out and found a binder of documents, which basically showed that Underwood faked his death and reinvented himself as Augustus Gravel. So then Oliver's like, my dad, I have to go find him, goes to the island. But that's everything. There's nothing after this. Emma's stunned. Maude is like, I had no idea. I actually didn't. And Emma believes her. So they were like, we need to break back into that hologram room to get more information. But the day they decide to, Emma gets a call from Prue's dad, and he's like, I'm sorry I lied to you. Me and Prue's mom are a pro in this like pro cloning group called the Quarry. And Prue was probably attacked by someone who had a problem with this. And when she recovered, she didn't want to go back to school, so she joined the Quarry. And she made contact with Gravel and traveled to his island like a week ago. And then we lost communication a few days ago. So we don't know where Prue is. I'm like, why are you calling her to tell her right now?
Also, why are you sending your daughter to a random island with this guy?
So you send
Your
your daughter
daughter's
to this
16.
random island. Then when she doesn't come back, instead of calling the police, you call another 16-year-old to say, guess what we did?
Obviously, 16-year-olds solve everything.
So now she's like, I'm under a lot of pressure to get information because I am the only one who can do it. And so she's able to sweet talk her way into the building. She hears a noise. So instead of going to the hologram room, she goes to a different room and she finds all of the similars, except Levi, on stretchers hooked up to a bunch of IVs. And she also finds the principal there, who essentially admits the similars were invited there to be experimented on. And remember, they have all this stuff that can make people compliant, whatever. So I don't think that they n are n aware or agreeable. So then Emma leaves, runs to Levi's room, tells him everything. And he's like, why didn't they include me? And
That's relatable though.
they both.
Honestly, I'd be like, do they think I'm not good enough to experiment
Yeah.
I want to be forcibly experimented.
I want to be experimented on. Like, not that I want to, but I don't want to be left
I
out.
don't want to be left out. Everyone but me. Okay. They assume it's because Oliver is dead. Like, there's something about the link between the two people. And Levi's like, but why would they do this? Like, as a part of our mission? And then he brings up Theodora, and Emma gets pissed. And he's like, I'm not dating Theodora. Like, I just asked her to do it, like, pretend. Because it wouldn't be good for us to be together. So I was like, I just wanted to like stop this from happening. But he tells her, I've liked you this whole time, but you can't like me because you can't, you think of me as your dead friend. But I'm like, she thinks of you as a hotter version of her dead friend.
You're the
Like the
hot
one she
clone.
might have been
Yeah.
into.
If her dead friend had bigger muscles, she might have felt differently.
Yeah.
All
If he
comes down to
could.
the British accent.
Yeah. And then she's like, I actually can separate you, and lists off all these reasons she likes Levi, and then they kiss. But then she feels dad. She feels bad. So she tells
She's
him,
like, you are actually, no, you're my dead friend.
she tells him, by the way, Gravel is Underwood, is your DNA dad. And Levi's like, I had my suspicions, but she does not explain, and we move on. Emma leaves. And the next morning, they run into each other. Emma's like, I could not sleep last night. And Levi's like, oh my God, me too. Like, ha ha ha. And she's like, no. I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about Prue and her father. Her mom is sick, and her mom is probably going to die, and Prue is missing. I have to go get Prue so she can go be with her mom who's dying. Levi, you know how to get to the island. So, what are your thoughts? And he's like, okay, fine, I'll help you. So, they basically go on this whole journey of take buses to a 4-hour ferry to this one fisherman who takes them on a boat to get to the island. And when they get there, luckily, Levi's with her. He knows the codes. They get right in. They're just wandering around the halls and they get caught by Gravel. Of course they do. This is an island with no one on it. He sees Emma and he says, you're as beautiful as you were as a child. Because it turns out Gravel was her father's roommate at Darkwood. Gravel slash Underwood. And he gives them food, which is clearly laced with something. They pass out. Emma wakes up. She's in a room connected to a bunch of tubes and monitors. There's a tablet with a file labeled memory, which is like in this technology world, you can store your memories externally. So she's like, okay, I'm gonna watch these memories. And she's like transported into Underwood Gravel's Darkwood memories. So she sees her dad and Underwood meeting. It's very awkward. And then Albert comes, who's Underwood's brother. There's clearly tension between the brothers. Then it skips to the cafeteria. It shows everyone from the 10, all, aka everyone's parents, meeting Underwood. Then we see a scene between Oliver's mom and Underwood where they start up a relationship. Then it skips to Underwood and two other people freeing animals from the lab. Then it skips to his expulsion meeting where he took all the blame by himself for freeing, so he was the only one that was punished. That's all that Emma gets to see. And then she gets knocked out. She wakes up in a room with Levi. He saw something different. So she tells him what she saw. He says, I saw what happened after that. So Underwood graduated from a different high school. He ends up marrying Oliver's mom, but he was a horrible husband. So after Oliver was born, she left him and married Oliver's stepdad. And Underwood had a terrible temper and there were many anger outbursts. So Oliver, full custody, went to the mom. And Emma's kind of rude to Gravel when he comes in. And she's like, honestly, that was not that impressive. It's just like little movies. And he's like, well, I've improved it a lot. Let's take it for a spin on your own memories. Ooh. And so he begins to show her a bunch of the worst memories of her life, like her mom dying, finding Oliver. And but the memories are distorted in a way where, like, she knows that that's not how it happened. So it's, like, weird because it's similar to what happened, but it's not exact. And when that's over, Emma's like, okay, well, that was fucked up. And also, why would you do that? And he said, oh, it's one of my methods I used to, like, make the kids emotionally strong when they were kids. And she's like, okay, like, what were you showing Levi then? And he's like, you're about to find out. In walks Oliver.
What? And
Emma is like,
oh my gosh.
Is this real or is this another distorted reality?
I had myself muted so you could not hear the gasp. I just gasped. But let me tell you, it was large.
It is Oliver. It turns out when she found the dead person in Oliver's bed, that was a clone. Another clone of Oliver. Emma is confused. She's like, the Oliver I know would be fighting you. But apparently, Gravel has him on a low dose of drugs that keep him calm. And
I love that everything in this book is solved by drugs.
Everything is solved by, but like, real.
His guy's name, though, is reminding me of, like, the villain from the Smurfs, Gargamel. And, like, that's all I can keep seeing is just that little bald man from the Smurfs.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so now Gravel is, like, doing his little, like, evil person speech. Basically, him and his brother made the similars. He wanted Oliver's parents to go through the same pain of loss that he felt when he lost custody. So he faked Oliver's death and sent Levi to rub it in their faces. Now they go to a different room. They find Prue chained to a wall. Gravel has been running experiments on her. Prue reveals her attacker was Tessa, who's Madison's friend. Prue knew about the experiments from someone in the quarry, and she confronted Tessa about it. Tessa attacked her to kind of keep it on the DL. Gravel is like, oh, Tessa and I both hate Prue's dad because he didn't admit that he was involved in releasing the animals. So basically, when he admitted it, he didn't want to admit it on behalf of other people. He thought they would come forward on their own.
Oh, so
they
he
didn't take the fall. So he didn't want to take the fall by himself, but he did. Everyone is like, but at the end of the day, like, when you left school, you married the girl and you became a billionaire. Like, why are you obsessed with this 20 years later?
Yeah. It's and never my life.
He's like, nope. Yeah, I did. Ruined my life. And the similars are my revenge and my legacy. And everyone's like, it literally makes no sense. It makes sense. So
his glory days were ruined.
Yes. So he tells the guards, like, prepare more beds. We got more people staying with us. But Levi attacks the guards. And then the guards inject Emma and Oliver. Like, it's a whole thing. She passes out. But before she passes out, she does steal a few syringes of the medication. How does she get them? I don't know. She gets them.
Why are drugs just laying around like candy in this place? Like, there's a syringe everywhere you turn.
How fast does this girl move? Like,
she's caught a lot, so not that fast.
But she slid through the door without anyone noticing. She's grabbing syringes without anyone noticing. Mm-hmm.
But she's also getting caught constantly.
But she has literal guards watching her do these things.
So despite passing out, she, like, gets back up. They run out of the compound. Prue has a boat on the island. That's how she got there. And they they never got rid of her boat. So her boat's still there because she was chained. Yeah, she was chained to a wall. So to be fair, they didn't think they needed to get rid of her boat. But Levi gets captured by the guards.
Oh, no.
She tries to inject Gravel, but it doesn't save Levi. She's hysterical. And Levi's like, you just got to go. So they do. When she gets back, she finds a note in her sweater from Gravel. And the note reveals that when Emma went through her experimental cancer treatment, she actually died. And Emma's dad had her cloned when she was really sick. So the Emma that is there is actually a clone.
And so she's a clone.
She's a clone. And her dad knows. No one ever told her. Her name is Eden. She was born on the island, but got to live a more normal life because he liked her dad. He also did it as a surprise gift. Like, he had already had her cloned. And then when she was dying, he was like, here you go.
Oh, my God.
Wait, they, like, replaced her memories?
She was really little when she had cancer.
Oh, okay. I thought the cancer was recent.
Is that why the dad's so weird with her? Because he's like, this isn't really
real. Probably.
The weird fucking clone that was gifted to me.
While my daughter was dying in the hospital, a gift that was given to me was a clone of my daughter.
Like, I didn't even ask for this. Just showed up.
So she just rips up the letter and doesn't tell anyone. And then you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you know what they all do? They all go back to school and finish the last 5 weeks.
And Levi's just left on that island?
They're worried about him. And everything else happens in book two, which I didn't read. So
Levi is left stranded.
They leave Levi on the island. They worry about him, but you know.
Is there like a love triangle now between Levi, Oliver, and Emma?
Kind of. Yeah.
But Emma was never into Oliver.
Yeah.
No. She was not even into Oliver before he like pretended to
That's
die
a
and
pretty
took off.
Ultimate diss though. Like, I'm not into you, but I am into your slightly hotter clone brother.
Exactly why I don't want a clone.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Did I like the book? No, it wasn't written very well. Did I enjoy it? Yeah, I thought the plot was fun. Would I recommend it? That's hard.
Who would you recommend it to?
I would recommend it to someone who's like me, who wants to read a book where it has to make just enough sense, but you can never know what's going to happen because the characters are so unpredictable in what they try to do.
There is no foreshadowing because
there's no consistency.
There's no consistency. The way that they get around it, injecting everyone drugs. With medications all the time.
So many drugs.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Spoilers and Courage.
If you enjoyed our little book club, make sure to rate and subscribe so you never miss an episode filled with literary disasters. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at Spoilers Encouraged and Spoilers N, that's Spoilers E-N, on X.
If you have a terrible book you want us to tackle next, email us at spoilersencouraged@gmail.com to share your thoughts and book recommendations.
Until next time, keep reading. And remember, a book being bad doesn't mean we won't love it.